Joe looked at them and announced that the job would take a little while. In the meantime, perhaps the soldiers would like to step inside and take a little to eat and drink, which, of course, they were only too glad to do.
"Do you think you'll catch these convicts, Sergeant?"
asked Mr. Wopsle, when the men had been supplied with food and drink.
"Yes," replied the sergeant. "They're pretty well known to be out on the marshes still. Anybody here seen anything of 'em?"
Everybody except me said no with confidence. Nobody thought of me. At last, Joe's job was done. As he put on his coat again, he proposed that some of us should go with the soldiers and see what came of the hunt. Mr. Bumblechook had no such desire, but Mr. Wopsle said he would go if Joe would. Joe said he would take me too, if my sister approved. My sister said, "If you bring the boy back with his head blown to bits by a musket, don't expect me to put it together again." The sergeant gave us strict orders to keep behind the soldiers and to speak no word after we reached the marshes. When we were out in the raw air, I whispered to Joe, "I hope we shan't find them." And Joe whispered back, "I'd give a shilling to know they were off the marshes, Pip." We struck out onto the marsh through the gate at the side of the churchyard. A bitter rain came beating against us, and Joe took me on his back. I considered for the first time whether my convict, if we came upon him, would suppose that it was I who had brought the soldiers there. But it was no use asking myself this question now. There I was on Joe's back, and there were the soldiers in a line in front, moving towards the battery. We had been walking some time when, of a sudden, we all came to a stop. There had reached us, on the wings of the wind and the rain, a long shout. It was repeated. No, there seemed to be two or more shouts raised together. The sergeant and his men started running off to the right, and Joe ran after them so fast that I had to hold on tight to keep my seat. As we came nearer to the shouting, it became more and more certain that it was made by more than one voice. When we had run the noise close, the sergeant went in first, with two of his men close behind. The others stopped and levelled their guns.